Welcome to another edition of El Paso Edition, powered by Synapse. Synapse is the region's life sciences news digest, and I'm the editor. Dennis Wu is a little under the weather today, so he won't be here, but I am happy to introduce our guest. He is the CEO of Sierra Medical Center and Providence Memorial Hospital. His name is Eric Evans. Welcome.
Thanks, Nomi. I'm happy to be here.
Can you tell me just a little bit about yourself before we get started? Where are you from? And
Sure. So I grew up in northern Indiana, actually, in a small farming community. And since then, I went to college in the same general area at Purdue University. And since then, I've kind of lived all over. Started out as an engineer and went back to get my MBA and joined Tenet Healthcare back in 2004.
What kind of engineer?
Industrial. So I worked as an industrial engineer for General Motors, the Saturn Corporation, actually, in Nashville, Tennessee.
Wow. So you went from automotive to healthcare.
Yes. It's definitely an unusual career path,
yes.
But certainly one that I think has been helpful for me, as there's a lot of the operational, operational process improvement kind of skill set that's been very helpful for me as I've come into healthcare.
Interesting. I wanted to bring you in today to talk about a very exciting announcement that Sierra Providence Health Network made recently. Tenet, which owns Sierra Providence Health Network, is going to invest $120 million into three of its hospitals here in El Paso. I was reading an article in the El Paso Inc. that said it's the single largest investment that Tenet has made in its El Paso hospitals ever. Is that right?
That is correct. Of course, there's the new hospital we built on the east side, which it would probably in total would be a bit bigger. But as far as reinvestment, it certainly is. It's one of the larger private investments in the city of El Paso when you look at it in the grand scheme of things. But it's for both Providence Memorial, Providence Children's Hospital, and Sierra Medical Center. And we're very excited about the investment.
And the money will be for renovations and modernization.
Yeah, it's for a lot of things. I mean, when I think about kind of the reasons we are making this investment, it really plays in well with where healthcare is heading. So I think first and foremost, our investment's going to dramatically improve and enhance the patient experience. And so when you think about what's going to happen with the renovations, it's not going to be just paint and moving walls. It's also going to be adding technology that will be more patient-centered and really work on engaging the patient in the room in a different way. And I'll talk more about that as we go forward. It's also going to be about making the hospital easier to interact with from a parking and entrance standpoint, adding more patient amenity areas, so coffee shops, a retail pharmacy, making sure there's more family space. And so it's really designed around dramatically changing and enhancing the patient experience. We're also specifically doing several things to improve efficiency, so changing the layout to make it a much more efficient way to deliver care. And also between the two facilities, rather than trying to do everything at both hospitals, we're choosing to specialize at both hospitals to make sure we create centers of excellence. And so this reinvestment allows us to do a bunch of things at once that we're really, really excited about. Obviously, matching up the aesthetics and making our network more similar across the two facilities downtown is part of it as well. But all of those things together, enhancing the patient experience, improving our efficiencies, and really reducing variance, which will allow us to drive better outcomes for our patients, is a big push for this investment.
What would be an example of reducing variance?
Yeah, so when you think about hospitals, most hospitals try to cover every single type of patient. And when you try to do all things for all people, it makes systems very complex. And so with our redesign, we're really trying to focus in on core services at both hospitals so that we're not trying to do everything everywhere and that we're really creating centers of excellence. So, for example, when we redo the facilities, we'll have our focus in orthopedics primarily at Sierra Medical Center. And so we will be able to invest in dedicated units to just to treating orthopedic patients. We'll be able to invest in dedicated equipment, dedicated processes that really removes some of the complexity that would exist in a space where you were trying to do everything.
So if I had a orthopedic issue and I went to Providence, would they send me to Sierra?
It would depend on the complexity of it. Obviously, you know, it wouldn't be that we would do no orthopedics at Providence, but certainly from an elective standpoint and for cases where it makes sense to be able to transfer, we would try to consolidate at one location, yes.
You just said two hospitals, but it's three hospitals.
Yeah, that's right. We also have Providence Children's Hospital, which is part of Providence Memorial Hospital and is certainly a big part of our future plans as well. The new technology I mentioned earlier, the patient engagement system, we're actually actually investing in a system called the Get Well Network. And it's quite a fascinating system. So if you can imagine, if you have a 12-year-old patient that's checking in and that patient has a particular condition, when that patient gets to the room on their TV screen, there will be a specialized screen that will be for pediatrics. It'll have kids' themes. It'll have kids' games available. It'll have the name. It'll have educational videos for that patient based on their condition that they'll be able to watch. It'll have interaction for the family. They'll have a keyboard. And so we really, with the investment too, were able to take our system and bring in technology that wasn't around when Providence and Sierra were built. And so we're pretty excited about that as well.
And that's in the patient room.
That's in the patient room. That's correct. And actually, that same technology, that same software actually follows the patient home. They can interact with it at home. It will also be available in our many outpatient centers across the city.
Okay, so it's like an online access.
There is online access as well, absolutely.
So why now? Why the $120 million investment?
Yeah, so I think this is an investment that we've been looking at for a while. You know, when I first got here a little over a year ago, we've spent probably the last year working with HKS, an architecture firm, to really look at both campuses and figure out what's the way to create a health system going forward that best meets the needs of our community. And so for us, I mean, obviously we've been investing in the community. Before you talk about this investment, over the past 10 years, the network's invested over $300 million in the community. So we've been investing in other things. But this investment now makes a lot of sense because it really aligns with where healthcare is heading, becoming more integrated, really focusing on making the patient experience much more patient-centered. And we believe that there's also never been a better time to invest in El Paso. It's an exciting time for the city. You look at the reinvestment downtown. Certainly, sitting here on UTEP campus, the reinvestment in UTEP, one of the things I hadn't mentioned yet that I certainly want to point out is Dr. Natalicio and I have worked closely on this master plan on the Sierra campus, and certainly there's going to be a UTEP grand entrance we're working on our campus at the corner of our university in Oregon. We've also recently signed a research agreement that really expands our ability to work with the university, and so we're very, very proud of our partnership with UTEP, which really expands with this renovation as well. And as UTEP has invested in their campus and really beautified it, we're proud to be doing the same thing and kind of extending their campus at the edge there of Oregon and University.
Wait, I have read about the SPHN research relationship with UTEP.
Yeah.
It was covered in Synapse. And as I understand it, that researchers at UTEP will have access to your hospitals. Your professionals, your medical professionals. Can you give us an example of a project that's going on right now between UTEP and SPHN?
Sure. It's actually a really exciting partnership, which connects our medical staff, and we have 1,000 really dedicated medical staff professionals to the university, but also allows the university, for example, to have access to all of our specimens in a de-identified way and allows them to do research. And so there's a lot of things we're looking at, both when it comes to the pediatric children side of things, oncology. We're looking at projects on diabetes. And so a lot of really interesting opportunities we're already pursuing. I think the one that's probably gotten the farthest so far is really sharing those specimens between our lab and allowing for additional research to be done at UTEP. But we're just getting started to scratch the surface of just how many opportunities we'll have to work together. It's very exciting.
And that relationship with UTEP started just in 2013, right?
Yes and no. I mean, certainly we kind of reinvigorated the relationship, I think, when I came to El Paso. But the UTEP and Sierra Providence have a long history, and certainly Sierra Providence has been very involved in giving to the School of Nursing and being involved in the university for quite some time. So I think we've always been good neighbors, but I think in some ways we hadn't fully taken advantage of the opportunities that our proximity and our relationship provided.
The modernization projects, is that you said it included technology.
Yeah.
That's patient-centered. Will it also affect your nurses and doctors and their technology and their experience?
Absolutely. So as part of the renovation, one of the things we'll be doing at both hospitals is completely renovating our ORs and ICUs. All of our critical care areas and our ORs will be modernized, and certainly will make a difference in how our physicians and nurses interact with the facility. Additionally, the system that I mentioned earlier, the Get Well Network, actually has a pretty dramatic impact on how our nurses and patients and physicians interact with our patients. So for example, as I mentioned earlier, the nurses can assign training via video and actually be able to test the patient can be tested on their knowledge, have it documented in the electronic chart, all from that system. And so what used to be a nursing responsibility to completely go through and walk through all the education can now be offloaded to technology and give us more time to do other patient-centered things. And so quite a few things there. And I should also mention, the technology is part of it. We're also in the course of doing this, really expanding some of our service lines. And so we're adding a geriatric psych unit, psychiatric unit at Providence, which, you know, in this community, we don't have any acute care hospitals that have a geriatric psych unit for patients over 65 that might be suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's. Currently, they're often cared for in a medical bed, which really doesn't have some of the specialized care that they need. So we're excited about that. We're expanding our ICUs, expanding our NICU. We have the busiest NICU in the region, great staff, a great medical staff taking care of those babies. And it's been an area where we continue to get more and more regional transfers. And so we're adding beds there. At Sierra, that's at Providence. At Sierra, we're adding actually in 2015 as part of this three-year plan a neuro ICU dedicated just to our neurosciences patients. And so there's a number of intricacies to the investment. So it's not just it's not purely just renovations. Obviously, it's technology. It's adding services where we've had capacity issues in the past. Another area I would point out is that at Providence, we tend to have a lot of mothers antepartum who are there for many, many, many weeks ahead of delivery because they have to be on bed rest and special monitoring. We're actually creating a unit for those patients because that is a different type of patient stay when you have to be in bed for weeks. And so having a dedicated antepartum unit is also part of our construction plans.
Can you talk a little bit about that geriatric psych unit? That's interesting to me.
The unit is specifically designed for those patients who have both acute care health issues and have psychiatric issues that need to be managed, whether it's dementia, Alzheimer's, and they're in for some other reason. This unit's really specifically designed to give them both the psychiatric support and the medical support available in an acute care hospital.
And that's not available now?
There are no – at acute care hospitals, there aren't any. Obviously, there are psychiatric hospitals here in the city, but often those acute conditions that end up – that people have to come to the acute care hospital for, they end up just on a regular medical floor. And so we see this as a service that's desperately needed in the city and certainly is one that we're excited to be able to fill that gap.
Do you foresee other investments coming beyond 2014?
Yeah, I think obviously yes. I mean, this is we have had a history of continuing to invest to make sure that we lead in technology and we bring access to the city. One is we're certainly going to continue to invest in our outpatient footprint. So when you look across the city right now, we have nine imaging centers in total. That includes two in Las Cruces. We have three urgent care centers. We're soon to open our second emergency department in the Northeast. That's currently an urgent care location that's actually converting to an emergency department. And then we have 17 centers. We have a lot of locations across the city. I would expect that we'll continue to grow that and continue to really work on providing outpatient locations that are close to home and convenient for patients. It's really where care is heading. Its growth is on the outpatient side. We have two ambulatory surgery centers that are partnerships with physicians here in the city, Paso del Norte on Mesa, and also El Paso Day Surgery, which is on Murchison just down from Sierra Medical Center. So we've got a big outpatient footprint already, but I think you'll continue to see us invest there. Regionally, we continue to look at growth regionally. Some of the investments that we talked about and included in that $120 million really allow us to become a regional referral center, meaning that the outlying hospitals in southern New Mexico and West Texas can begin sending more patients here rather than other cities, which is obviously good for the economy, but also is going to be an important service that we provide. So we're currently doing a partnership. We've announced this in the past, too. I think it was covered in Synapse, a joint-ventured cath lab in Alamogordo with Gerald Champion Regional Medical Center. And you're going to see more of that, partnerships with regional locations so that we can provide better care. We can help integrate care across many communities and really provide better value care.
And when you say regional, like how far out are
you
talking
about? We're talking to Alpine, to Deming, most of southern New Mexico, a lot of West Texas. And so it's a broad range. We do get patients from those areas now, and it's a growing part of certainly what we're trying to focus on.
And Juarez?
Juarez, we actually are going to be focusing more on Juarez and in Chihuahua. We used to have marketing offices over in both of those places. We're going to be reopening those. And certainly there are a lot of the higher end services we offer, the higher acute services that we want to offer access to. I'll give you an example. We are in the process right now. It'll open in mid-January of constructing a hybrid OR, which is basically an OR with a cath lab inside of it.
I read about
that. That allows us to do what's called a TAVR procedure or a minimally invasive valve replacement. So patients who might have otherwise not been eligible for open heart surgery can actually, with this procedure, have their valve replaced without having to go through such a traumatic surgery. And so cardiothoracic surgeons and cardiologists would work together. Very exciting technology. And that's a service that obviously we think is both, important for southern New Mexico, West Texas, and Mexico. And so we're very excited for some of those tertiary services to certainly offer those in Mexico as well.
Well, it sounds like this $120 million is going to be creating jobs.
They're actually absolutely on the construction side for sure. So, you start off initially, we were very, very focused, just as we were at Sierra Providence East when we built it back in 2008, on focusing on ensuring that money stays local. So when we built Sierra Providence East, we actually used 75% local contractors for the spend. And our goal is to really be focused on trying to keep the vast majority of that investment here locally. And so it'll create a lot of construction jobs and certainly critical care jobs in those areas that we're expanding. It's definitely an opportunity to help the economy of the city and while doing good for healthcare here locally.
We have like a weed growing here in the region of healthcare. I mean, if you mentioned
Sierra Providence East.
Yeah, but there was another hospital outside of SPHN that
you mentioned. Gerald Champion in Alamogordo.
But also, I mean, if you look at Fort Bliss, I mean, a $1 billion hospital they're building. The Children's El Paso Children's Hospital is just over a year old now.
Yep.
And then they're building a new nursing school for Texas Tech. UTEP, like you said, is investing a lot in their biomedical research and in their health sciences academic units.
It's very exciting. There's no doubt that I think that being a healthcare regional hub is important for our economy. It's great for our citizens from an access standpoint. You failed to mention MCA, which I will do. Medical Center of the Americas obviously doing some exciting work as well. I think it's good for the economy. It's good for all of us to see this investment in healthcare. It's a big part of our economy and certainly I think can bring a lot of regional additional economic development to our city. And most importantly, it provides access to high quality care for our citizens and better outcomes.
Has it been easier to recruit that you've seen since you've been here? I mean, with all that's happening, all the development, I mean, we're really ground floor here with our medical industry. Is it easier to recruit?
Yeah, I definitely think it's getting easier. Now, I really don't have a lot to compare it to, obviously. So I'm kind of saying this with a little bit of a lack of experience. But since I've been here, we've had a really great really great success in recruiting really top flight physicians. And over the past 5 years, Sierra Providence Health Network has recruited 200 physicians to the market. And so we're continuing to invest there. That was something I was going to get to. You know, that's a big investment. And on average, relocating and getting a physician set up here in the market costs about $500,000. So that's about $100 million investment over 5 years if you look at those 200 physicians. And we see that only getting more important. And so certainly bringing physicians in, all this investment helps. And not only the medical institutions, but also just the forward thinking of the city and some of the investments we're seeing downtown, quality of life. We're really, really excited about the future of El Paso. And I think the investment on behalf of our company shows a lot of confidence in the economy of El Paso and where we're heading.
You mentioned your three urgent care centers, and that was something that I wanted to ask you about.
Sure.
Your urgent care centers, they're pretty new, right? You opened your first one in 2011, according to my research.
That's correct. Yeah, so they are relatively new. And again, a big push on urgent care has been trying to make sure that our communities have access at off hours to an access point that's both affordable, it's the right location for their care, it provides them the right level of resources. So, you know, in the past, anytime after 5 or 6 o'clock, basically your option was the emergency department. And so we've seen these access points be a really great way to allow patients to have access to a more appropriate level of care that's more value-centered. And so they've been outstanding. We have the location off of Sunland Park. We have a location off of Viscount. And, of course, we have the location in the Northeast.
I was at the Viscount location. My 6-year-old at the time had an eye.
Something, yeah.
Something. And we went to the Viscount Urgent Care Clinic because it's new.
Yeah.
And I was trying to think of one that was close to my house. And it's like a big sign, SPHN,
sure.
Urgent Care Center. And so it's right next to that hometown buffet, which is convenient.
Yep.
And it was clean. And they referred us to an eye doctor to follow up with.
But we're able to treat you at least for the current urgent condition. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's actually a great resource. I have a 1.5-year-old and a 3.5-year-old. And so I have used the urgent care centers more times than I'd like to count. But certainly, again, it's convenient. Often, you know, as we add locations, it's close to home. It's a way not to have to go to an emergency department when it truly is an emergent. And the idea here is really trying to get everyone used to utilizing the right resource so that we really focus on value in healthcare as well.
Will you be opening more? You have three now, so.
Yeah, no, I do anticipate over time we're going to open more, absolutely. I think that there's a need in the market for those services. And one thing I would say that, you know, this we really do partner with our medical staff on these because we don't provide primary care there. Our goal there really is urgent care. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the patients we see, often they're the young invincibles, right? They're the folks that don't have a primary care provider. And so one of the things we try to do is to say, okay, we're glad we're able to treat your condition. It's really good for you to go get those preventative tests, to go establish a primary care physician relationship. And so we do a lot of that too, of matching patients to our primary care base so that they're not constantly having to go to urgent care or ED.
Yeah, I liked that. I liked the eye doctor that they sent us to.
Excellent.
You also mentioned a second ER in Northeast.
Yeah.
One of the stories that I have covered in Synapse was this rumor, I don't know how else. It was actually in the El Paso Inc. It said that a new hospital in Northeast El Paso may be 2 years away. Is Northeast, I don't get out there that much.
Right.
If I do go out that way, I get lost. Are they underserved out there in terms of, you know?
So I definitely think that it's a fast-growing community, and especially one of the reasons we chose to put an emergency department there, and we had been looking at this for quite some time, is that, you know, for the average ambulance EMS run, when they have to take a patient from the Northeast into one of our hospitals, it's typically 45 minutes that they're out of service. And so that obviously has a cost to the coverage for the city or the city up there. And yeah, there's certainly, I think there's a growing need for medical services up there. And so that's definitely our reason for going after the emergency department there. We're actually converting our existing urgent care center into a full service emergency department. That actually opens in mid-January. I should also mention our Eastside Hospital opens their new 50-plus bed ED in February. And so there are expansions going on to meet with what really the Northeast, the East, very fast-growing parts of our community. And certainly access is critical for those folks.
How long has Tenet had a presence in El Paso?
Yeah, it's been a long time. You know, our company, actually our roots go back to building Sierra Medical Center back in 1976.
So that was the first one.
That was the first hospital that we had here. And then we acquired Providence Memorial Hospital in 1995. And that actually, of course, formed the Paso del Norte Health Foundation Foundation. And, you know, everybody knows what a great job Myrna Deckard's done with that and the great work it continues to do. Providence was actually built in 1952, and so you know we've done lots of expansions over time to it, and we're in the process of upgrading it. And then in 2008, of course, we built our newest hospital, Sierra Providence East Medical Center, which you know has done phenomenally well. It is a provider of choice out there, very very busy. Sally Hurt, my colleague, has just done a great job of creating a really patient centered culture out there, and they're actually doing a $70 million expansion as we speak. That's beginning to open in the first part of this year, so we're really excited about that hospital. And you know, it's a great community out there that's growing extremely fast.
Yeah. In September, just in 2013, yep, Sierra was named one of the best hospitals in Texas, ranking 40th for excellence in ear, nose, throat program.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about that program.
Sure. So obviously we have a fantastic medical staff of ENTs, and so I'll start there with our physicians and a great group of OR techs and staff at the hospital to take care of those patients. That recognition was actually from the U.S. News and World Report. We were the only hospital in El Paso that was recognized in that particular publication. And they look at a number of things, including some quality factors, reputation, et cetera. There are so many, obviously, different organizations out there, and we get lots of different awards, but we were very proud of that one, and certainly we were happy to celebrate that with our staff. We do a great job with those patients, with the ENT patients, and with all patients at Sierra Medical Center. So we're proud to be recognized.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
You replaced John Harris as CEO back in September 2012. Can you tell us about a little bit more about yourself? How did you start your career? How did you go from automotive? How did that happen?
Sure. So when I went back to graduate school, I knew I wanted to do something more people-based. And so while I loved manufacturing and I loved the engineering challenges that I got to work on, I wasn't getting the personal reward I wanted out of the job I had. And so when I went back to graduate school in Boston, I was lucky enough to run into some alumni who worked at Mass General. And at the time, Tenet owned two hospitals in the area. They actually owned them again. Our company just recently acquired 30 hospitals. And one of them was St. Vincent's in Worcester, Massachusetts. Another was Metro West in Boston. And I got to spend time at those two hospitals. And I kind of tripped into a career field that I fell in love with. So when you think about what makes hospitals unique, I'm blessed to get up every day with 3,600 colleagues at the Sierra Providence Health Network who have self-selected to help others in their absolutely most vulnerable moments. And that creates a unique environment. You know, healthcare is not a punch-in, punch-out job. It is a job that requires passion. It is a job that, you know, yes, there are well-paid positions in healthcare, but it's not about a paycheck in healthcare. You have to have more than that to really help people in these situations. And so it's a blessing to go to work every day knowing that you're with a group of folks who are dedicated to making a difference and that we do really meaningful, powerful work for the community.
We only have a little bit of time left, and I want to ask you before we end, what do you like most about your job here in El Paso? What's been your biggest achievement so far, and what do you hope to achieve?
What do I like most about my job here in El Paso? Obviously, I would start with it's the people. I mean, and the ability, as I said earlier, to do meaningful and worthwhile work every day. You know, as I talked about before, it's an amazing group of folks at Sierra Providence. We are blessed to have a number of amazing professionals in healthcare that truly are passionate about making a difference. And when you think about the size and scope of our network in the city, if we do our job well, we make a difference in the community both economically. We make a difference in wellness and on time, being able to show up for work for employers. All those things that we can move the needle on every day. And obviously, we touch lives every day with delivering babies. And it's just an incredibly powerful group of folks that I'm blessed to serve with. And so I would definitely say the thing I enjoy most about my job is the people. As far as the biggest thing that I've achieved so far, obviously I'm really excited about this reinvestment. It positions us to remain the market leader for a long time and provide absolutely outstanding patient care. And more importantly, it gives us a way to ensure that our community has access to the latest technologies and just an outstanding experience.
And is there anything that you hope to achieve? I mean, I don't know if you know how long you will be the CEO of SPHN.
But I have a lot to get done here. We have a great group of folks, and we're just scratching the surface of the potential for the network. What I really hope to achieve is to make sure that Sierra Providence Health Network is in the top decile, the top 10% of all the publicly reported metrics you see about hospitals. So our job, one thing in healthcare, it's a very complicated industry. There's a lot of change right now, and there's so much data we collect. And what I would tell you is in healthcare, as in many industries, with too much data, you end up with lots of data and little insight. And what we really try to focus on, because you can get overrun by the metrics, it's easy to say, well, gosh, we're at the national average in that metric. That's okay. And the reality of it is that's not okay. Our goal is to be in the top 10%. Our goal is to be the leading provider and provide the best outcomes and patient experience in the region. And, that's my goal. My goal is to make sure that ultimately that when patients come to us, they know and they consistently get the absolute best experience, the best outcome that can be possible. And ultimately, too, moving forward, we didn't get a chance to talk about a lot of our population health efforts, but we have to be much more proactive, too, in keeping people out of the hospital. Our role as we go forward in healthcare, when you think about today, we get fee-for-service payments. In the future, we're going to get paid for value. And our role really is to help drive wellness. We're doing a lot of things on the population health side that I'm very, very excited about that will help us get to those metrics. But that certainly is my goal, is to make sure that when my family, your family needs a healthcare provider, that they can be consistently confident that they're going to get the absolute best care at our hospitals and our network.
It was a pleasure meeting you. You look so young for a hospital CEO. I mean, you usually see, an older gentleman, gray, but you look young.
Well, so. it was my pleasure to be here. I probably look younger than I am. I'm thinking, and certainly I would say this, young means I don't have as much experience as some, which means I'll make mistakes, but I'll try to outrun them and do the best possible job I can for this community. And very, very, very blessed to have this role.
Okay, well, thank you, Eric Evans, CEO of Sierra Providence Health Network. We wish you continued success and growth in El Paso, and we look forward to seeing what else happens in the future.
Thank you, Noemi. It's my pleasure.
This edition of El Paso Primetime featured Noemi Rojas as the host. She's also the executive editor of Synapse. You'll find all that information at mcasynapse.org. And her guest today, Eric Evans, the Chief Executive Officer to Sierra Providence Health Network. Find all that information under sphn.org. El Paso Primetime is a production of KTEP, all rights reserved. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll do it all over again the next time for another edition of El Paso Primetime.